Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So our men's golf team won the D2 National Golf Championships in Palm Beach, Florida at PGA National on Friday. So great week for the Argos.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
So that's the voice of Dave Scott. He is the athletic director at UWF. And that was the high point of the meeting yesterday. It was before the meeting was actually going when they were in their Zoom, getting everybody on the meeting, roll call, making sure the technology was working moment. Because pretty much everything after that was, what's the word from Heartbreak Ridge? A cluster bleep. It was bad, like really bad. It was good in the sense that people stood up for what they thought was right, and I appreciate them tremendously for it. It'll make good radio all day. Some of the public comments from the forum beforehand, you had a couple of people who were very pro Manny Diaz as the interim president. And then you had a couple of people who were clearly very anti Manny Diaz. One from Miami, who I guess knew him back when he was a K-12 school administrator, Mike Sanderson.
I asked to speak about the selection of the interim president. And the original meeting packet reminds me of the movie Air Bud, about that, you know, the 90s movie about the dog that plays basketball. It has the iconic line when the refs and coaches are holding the rule book: "Ain't no rule the dog can't play basketball." And that's kind of what this is. Ain't no rule the packet has to name the interim president when picking the president. Same with the presidential evaluation taking place 2 hours from now. Ain't no rule the committee work has to happen before the decision based on that work. And, you know, Mr. Diaz's terminal degree is an MS from Nova Southeastern. Ain't no rule a state university president needs to be more qualified than a high school teacher.
And he's right. There is no rule for any of those things, but all of those things are suspicious looking. You know, he doesn't have a PhD. Terminal degree is usually required. That's the highest degree possible in the field. And he does not have a terminal degree in any field. And so, you know, and also the business about the evaluation of Martha Saunders taking place, you know, after 2 hours after the question of whether she should or shouldn't be the continuing interim or whatever, he went on because it was not Air Bud was a setup. It was a pretext. I don't know the best, you know, literary device, but still, it was funny.
Except Air Bud is just a movie. The reason there's no rule is because our system of self-government is based on the foundational requirements of duty of care, duty of loyalty, and duty of obedience. You have a permanent president in place, and you're accepting her resignation to replace her with a tremendously unqualified replacement. And there's no reason consistent with duty of care, duty of loyalty, and duty of obedience for doing this. The term is burrowing, when a political appointee digs in to get a permanent job.
So definitely not a favorable review.
And Madam Chair, I understand you were appointed by Ms. Diaz to the Education Department DSO, and your job is to do business with the state of Florida specifically. It really looks like one hand washes the other. And we all clearly understand that some arrangements were made outside of the sunshine when this meeting was announced. It's clear the state university system is now run by some backroom code of omerta. And if you were familiar with these meetings, you'd be clear how empty the original packet was.
I mean, it's hard to argue with any of that analysis. It's pretty brutal. But yeah, the political favors, the backroom deals, or at least the, you know, back text and telephone deals, you know, because one of the issues when it comes to the Board of Trustees picking either a regular president or at least an interim president is, you know, the governor or the governor's henchman, you know, can call the Board of Trustees anytime. There's no sunshine regulation there. It's not a with it. Just like the mayor can call the city council, you know, there's no restriction there. Or the, you know, city manager can call the city council, or the county administrator can call the, I mean, there's no restriction on sunshine between the executive and, for example, in this case, the Board of Trustees for a university, most of whom he installed either directly himself or through the Board of Governors. So yeah, it's outside the sunshine. That doesn't make it illegal. It just makes it, you know, weird because this all looks so very, very orchestrated. Everything going back to the attacks on Martha Saunders, to the naming of Scott Yenner as the chairman of the board before he had to leave under pressure. And anyway, all this stuff. And putting, you know, one candidate on the list to be the interim, Manny Diaz, who, again, in case you haven't been listening to me talk about this, I like Manny Diaz. Manny Diaz is a good person. He's a good conservative. I liked him as a legislator. You know, I think he's doing relatively well as, you know, the Secretary of Education. I don't really have an objection to Manny per se. My objection has to do with this process that he's the only one being offered, that it is very clearly the governor's, you know, I don't know, puppet, if you want. I mean, you know, it's clearly what the governor wants to have happen to a university that we all love for what it has been and what everybody acknowledges has been, which is a great university. You did have people speak on his behalf, including Mel Ponder, who is the president of Northwest Florida State College and a legislator before that. And another good guy. Okay, a good guy.
From the time I've known Commissioner Diaz since 2016, he has been a proven and effective leader. He's proven himself even as an educational leader, as Commissioner of Education, clearly worked with all 28 state colleges, state college presidents, leadership, all 67 county school districts, built trusted relationships really across the board with all the university presidents as well, really a lot through collaboration and with the summit.
So, I mean, he's basically saying that, you know, Manny Diaz has done his current job very well.
In my short time as president here over in Okaloosa and Walton County, he's been a great leader and support for me personally in my journey. He's also been a legislative leader, as has been said, in the House and the Senate, had legislative successes in policy and appropriation, knows the halls of the Capitol extremely well, which I think would really serve, you know, the university very well from that regard.
And, you know, it's fine to have your friends stand up for you in a situation where I don't know why they bother, because there's no opposition. They put one candidate forward. It's not like this is an election. Not really. You know, it's kind of reminds one of a certain country east of Europe, west of Japan, north of China, south of the Arctic, where it's weird, like one guy gets 98% of the vote every time. It's like almost running unopposed. You know, it's just that's what we had here. We had one person, by the way. Much more on that later, because the interactions between Rebecca Matthews, who is the chair of the Board of Trustees, and some of the other board members, kudos to them who stood up to them. I mean, it was rough sledding for Chair Matthews yesterday, frankly, and rightly so, because this whole thing stinks. Anyway, C. Ray Jones, former chair of University Investment, member of the foundation, founder of the Football Boosters, a whole bunch of things, and current something, or I didn't catch all the titles, but, you know, not a person I know personally, but somebody who's, you know, got a pretty good resume, a connection to UWF.
And with my experience, to recommend that this board fill the interim president position with a person who possesses an intimate knowledge of the school. This is not intended to be disrespectful of the nominee proposed, but a strong suggestion that this is not the time to change horses in midstream. A local selection will also allow the search committee to have some flexibility and time to do its mission.
Right. Find a look. There's plenty of, you're not talking about the president, you're talking about the interim president. Although, of course, it's entirely possible that the interim becomes the president. And one of the concerns raised by Jerry Maygarden, who, you know, it was interesting when Jerry was introducing himself to the board, I wondered how many of the new board members knew who Jerry Maygarden was. And my suspicion is none of them. Now, they didn't say, he didn't ask. But as he was introducing himself and explaining who he had been, you know, the majority leader in the House and the mayor and, you know, all the other things that Jerry Maygarden has done. And then he's explaining why they're being a bunch of fools for, you know, going with Manny Diaz and not going with a local, at least as the interim, and that they better be careful because this is going to poison the process and continue to erode the trust established. More on that later. You know, and I thought to myself, you know, I love Jerry Maygarden. There's a handful of people, and I'll probably say this again later, but there's a handful of people when if they say something, I'm going to just start from the premise that it's right. And you got to really convince me that it's wrong. Jerry Maygarden's one of those people. You know, Dave Merzen is one of those people. There's a handful of such people in the John Hutchinson is another one like that. Janice Gilley is another one.
John Pickens.
So anyway, there's a handful of people who, you know, when they say something, I just know it's a well thought out, well reasoned perspective to have. And Jerry Maygarden, who stood up yesterday and said quite a bit, I'll save his comments about Manny Diaz particularly for a little bit later, but just on the committee to pick the president, because once you pick an interim, then you got to pick an actual president, and the committee to pick the president, he says,
more important, I ask that you fill those slots with people who are intimately familiar with the university and the surrounding region. Please forego selecting people who have limited or casual knowledge of the University of West Florida. I know that I don't have to tell you, but the outcome you desire will be enhanced immeasurably by the decisions you make today. The success or failure of the next president depends on it. His or her ability to get things done will depend on your willingness to include the various stakeholders within the university community to serve in the selection process.
And he's exactly right. And by the way, at the very end of the meeting, at least lip service was paid to the idea of having a lot of locals on that search committee. So we'll see whether it gets stacked and whether they abuse the power that they have of the majority, you know, in order to get their guy, you know, shoved in. You know, they clearly did this yesterday when it came to making Manny Diaz the interim. The question is whether they'll continue that process later. And if they don't,
if they feel like the process has been improper or inappropriate, they will be nipping at the president's heels for the balance of his or her term. Future recruitment could suffer, philanthropy could suffer, and the university will suffer on account of careless decision-making made today.
Yeah, these are all concerns going forward. And, you know, one last one from Damian Turner Ward, who, you know, or sorry, Damani, excuse me, my eyes. Damani Turner Ward, I was like, I thought it was a female. Anyway, Damani Turner Ward, who was a little bit more brutal about her assessment.
There's been extensive public discussion of the possibility that Manny Diaz may become our interim president. I fear that this individual does not have the experience and expertise necessary to properly lead this higher education institution as its president, as his career thus far is primarily in K-12 education, not in the administration of a university as large as our own.
Yeah, which is true. I mean, he has a little bit of higher education experience, but not nearly the kind that you would like, not nearly enough. But again, now he's the interim. I want to be optimistic about the future, and I have always liked Manny Diaz, so, you know, we will see. Now, the alternative, what they really should have done yesterday, was they should have either A, offered to keep Martha Saunders on as interim until a new person could really take the reins, or B, at least picked, you know, one of the various high-level people who would be like, you know, the next person to step in, basically. You know, and that could have been anybody from the provost. That could have been, you know, Judy Bentz. There's a whole bunch of other names that came up. Any of those would have been fine, too, as interim. But no, they decided to ignore all that good advice, just plow forward with Manny Diaz as the interim, which means they're going to plow forward with him as the president. You know, and at least that's what we all expect, because why would he take this interim job only? Why would he leave Secretary of Education just to be the interim? That's nonsense. So, yeah, very discouraging day yesterday. Very, very discouraging day. But like I said, lots of good radio. We'll talk about it coming up later on the show. 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying a home, thinking about selling a home, thinking about an investment property, maybe that's a short-term rental, an Airbnb, or a long-term, you know, regular rental, whatever the case may be, you just want to move, you know, downsize, upsize, whatever. You got family coming or you got family moving out and you want to downsize. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they can help you with that. They sold 165 homes last year, 175 homes the year before that, plus 200 a couple of years when it was really easy and hot. And they know how to solve the problems. They know how to avoid the problems. They know how to stage it, price it, photograph it, list it, all of the things that go into making a great home. And just are there for you to answer your questions anytime you need them answered and to help you ask better questions. That's the value of having an expert who's done this a lot, and they have done this a lot. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
If you need to hire, it seems like the whole process can be exhausting. You search resumes, wait for the right candidates to apply, set up initial interviews. It's a lot of time and work. Well, what if you could meet with qualified candidates for your job the very next day? Now you can with Zip Intro from ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro is super easy to use. You simply pick a time, and it does all the work of finding and scheduling qualified candidates for you. Then you can choose who you want to talk to and meet with great people on back-to-back video calls as soon as the next day. Best of all, you save time and energy.
Try ZipIntro for free right now at this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipIntro. Post jobs today. Talk to qualified candidates tomorrow. Once again, go to ziprecruiter.com/free to try it for free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, don't miss the Grand Fiesta Parade in downtown Pensacola. Don't miss the crews, high school bands, the King, Queen, and their court. The fun rolls at 7. The Fiesta Boat Parade is Saturday beginning at 1. The best place to catch the colorful parade from land will be from Sanders Beach, Corinne Jones Center, or Plaza de Luna downtown. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Stay here.
If you insist, senor.
Six on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola. Oh, come on, here. Go on, go on. Come on, Rick. Bring it. David Wayne is... Oh, by the way, I think I gave Dave Scott a demotion. He is not... I checked because I was not sure if he'd gotten a promotion, and he is, in fact, the Associate Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics, not just the athletic director, but I've known him so long as the athletic director that I, you know, made the mistake. So sorry about that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The Trump administration putting student visa interviews on hold. That decision was publicly announced yesterday. It comes as the administration considers requiring foreign students to undergo social media screenings. The CDC pulling back some guidance on COVID vaccines for pregnant women and healthy kids. Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. announcing that change in a video yesterday. The agency had previously recommended the vaccine for everybody 6 months and up.
Yeah, that was, I have not had a chance to go back and cut the audio, but there was a very interesting speech that Jay Bhattacharya gave several months ago. And I may not ever get to it because it's so old, but it was really interesting when he was talking about that. I mean, the overwhelming evidence from COVID is it is old people who are at risk. You know, I mean, like I'm right on the brink of any danger at all. Like I'm 54. It's 50 plus, but it's really 60 plus that are at the most risk. And, you know, that was obvious even from the beginning, and all the data showed that all the way through. So, you know, the notion of vaccinating, you know, kids and pregnant moms, kind of like, why, though, you know?
Right.
Anyway, go ahead, David.
Federal prosecutors will not be seeking the death penalty for one of El Chapo's sons. Joaquin Guzman Lopez is charged with drug trafficking and money laundering alongside three of his brothers. He's pleaded not guilty. The charges follow the conviction of their father, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, who's currently serving a life sentence in the U.S.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. It's 529 on News Radio 92.3. Are the Chrisleys out or not out? Or I just don't care. This was not a story I cared about when they were on trial. I did not care when they came to Pensacola or he did or they whatever. I don't care now. I'm just, you know, whatever. If the president wants to pardon people who committed financial crimes, interesting. Anyway, and people who engaged in fraudulent representations, Anyway, just, you know, whatever. It's so uninteresting. Meanwhile, UConn Cornelius is proud of Governor DeSantis. You know who UConn Cornelius is? Silver and gold. You know, nothing, right? From Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. gold and silver are like legal tender now in Florida, or at least they will be soon. The governor signed this bill. It's a weird bill. As far as I can tell, I don't think anybody's going to pay for groceries at Walmart with a, you know.
So if I bring you three pieces of silver.
I don't think it's going to work that way. As best I understand it, and I will admit I am not super knowledgeable on this, but as best I understand it, I think it was meant to eliminate any kind of sales tax on coins of currency sold and exchanged. But I didn't know there was sales tax on. I wouldn't think there was to begin with. There's not sales tax typically sold on things that you trade like that. So anyway, I feel a little bit ignorant, but I know that coins or currency sold, exchanged, or traded based on precious metal content are removed from sales tax. And there's some other implementation stuff that has to happen here.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Trump administration is pausing all interviews for student visas.
It would represent another escalation in the administration's efforts to push back against elite universities and colleges. This latest effort, for now at least, would end the scheduling of new visa interviews for foreign students hoping to come to the U.S. to study. And there are a number of reports that the government is using this time to expand its social media vetting process.
Fox's Doug Lusader. President Trump says he's told Canada to pay $61 billion toward a new Golden Dome missile defense system, or nothing if it becomes the 51st state. Senate Republican Tommy Tuberville says he'll run for Alabama governor next year instead.
We're going to grow Alabama. We're going to bring manufacturing to the state. We're going to stop this illegal immigration. We're going to make education better again.
He will have served one term in the Senate. Current Governor Kay Ivey can't run again because of term limits. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3 73, and we've got partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get more with our weather forecast and Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Pensacola police are investigating a shooting. This happened at the Pensacola Village Apartments overnight. Officers say there was one male victim with a gunshot wound to the leg. His injuries are not considered to be life-threatening. Investigators are still looking into what happened so far. There is no word on a suspect or a motive. Two people have died after apparently drowning in the Gulf in Okaloosa County. The sheriff's office says a husband and a wife were in the water yesterday when deputies were called. Both were found in the water and could not be revived. The Okaloosa sheriff's office is investigating that. UWF's Board of Trustees officially naming State Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. as the university's interim president yesterday. Diaz addressed the board, highlighted some of his priorities at that meeting.
But it is a robust military community, and I think that is going to continue to be important. The arts, along with that history, are incredibly important, and I know part of the fabric of this institution and this community, and also... I think there's an incredible energy around the athletic program. I know there's a lot of plans in place, but having national championships in football and golf and competing at a highest level in all other sports, and I think those plans going forward, that's not only important for the institution, it's important for this community.
And Diaz said the university exists to benefit students and the community. He said he wants to keep students first. Diaz assumes the role and takes over for current president Dr. Martha Saunders on July 14th. Well, city officials are preparing for Friday's Fiesta Parade.
The parade rolls at 7 on the usual route on Palafox, and the road closures are set to begin at 4 o'clock. So you remember I mentioned to you guys many times about the we are going to be towing vehicles if they are inside the parade route.
And that's Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. That parade, of course, taking that usual route there on Garden and Palafox. And Reeves does say road closures will be similar to how they were for the Mardi Gras parade a while back. He says anybody going downtown also should be patient, as traffic will definitely see some slowdowns. Not only the parade, people headed downtown for the parade, but also there's going to be extra vehicles downtown that night due to a graduation being held at the Bay Center. And Florida, a new law giving Floridians a greater financial freedom. That's according to Governor DeSantis. Yesterday, he signed HB 999 into law. The bill recognizes gold and silver as legal tender in the state. Governor DeSantis says it'll give residents more tools to safeguard their money. It also supports, he says, inflation-proof assets. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The U.S. government will have veto power over key decisions relating to U.S. steel as part of a deal with Nippon Steel that would approve the Japanese firm's bid for the well-known American steel company. Pennsylvania Senator David McCormick said the details are laid out in what is called a national security agreement the companies will sign with the U.S. government. As NVIDIA gets set to report quarterly earnings this morning, investors are focused on the impact of export restrictions to China. NVIDIA said it would take a $5.5 billion write-down on inventory for its H20 chip. Revenue growth is still high relative to all other tech megacaps, but it's slowing dramatically from where it was a year ago. Semaphore reports Elon Musk's brain implant company Neuralink raised $600 million in a deal that values the company at $9 billion before the new cash. The startup was estimated to be valued at $5 billion in 2023. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit ochsner.org/65plus-Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
See, once again, I'm actually inclined to sing, and I restrain myself. So, you know, you all can just say thank you. And John, yes, there are the occasional country song that I do enjoy, and that's a good one. That's a genuinely good song. 538, stop it. You made the best mistake, wasn't it? 538 on News Radio 92. That's all right. It's funny. Let's see. Yeah, yesterday had a chance to talk to our congressman, Jimmy Patronis, congressman for Florida's 1st District in the United States House of Representatives. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, great to be with you.
Great to have you. Let's talk about the big, beautiful bill that, of course, passed by one vote. How important did you feel when it passed by one vote?
There wasn't a big line of people running up to say thank you for getting elected. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Here's the challenge. We were up for 24 hours straight, literally awake. He had a few members, but took naps. We had one member who overslept and missed the vote altogether. But you know, the Democrats were going to be locked in. They were going to they threatened Hakeem Jeffries. You know, threatened to want to, every time he got interrupted, he was going to extend his speech by 15 minutes. He knew he didn't have the votes. So this it was childish, okay? The games are being played.
Yeah.
But this is what we had to do to get the president's agenda, at least across the finish line, for the House of Representatives.
Okay, you can't just say somebody overslept and not tell me who overslept. I mean, who overslept?
Oh no. I got to pull it up.
Oh, it's okay. All right.
I haven't met him.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought maybe they were,
member of Congress. It was a Republican from New York. I think we had two that missed the votes. And it was kind of funny. He said, oh, well, by the time I got to the chamber, the voting already closed out. Then the speaker does a press conference after their gaggle.
Yeah.
The speaker just threw the member under the bus. overslept.
Oh, man. Well, I think, you know, we have all had things we overslept on at times. I have kind of a big picture question. There's a lot of very interesting things in this bill. We'll see if we can get to a couple of them. But I have a big picture question. So for the last 4 months, we've heard nothing but Doge and cuts, people getting fired, budget slashed, you know, chainsaw to the forest kind of thing. And then in this bill, we're raising the debt ceiling by a couple of trillion dollars. And I know historically President Trump has always been willing to raise the debt ceiling. It's one of the things that drives me crazy about his fiscal policy. But on the one hand, we're cutting. If we're cutting, why do we have to raise the debt ceiling? Shouldn't we be seeing some savings? I mean, I thought the point was to chip into this debt and to really kind of pay. I mean, I kind of know the answer, but I wanted to hear your perspective on, you know, why we're in where we're at.
Yeah, it was put together as really like about a 10-year plan. So we instituted $1.5 trillion in savings, okay? But at the same time, the president wanted no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, expanded the child tax credit. There was some benefits to seniors regarding Social Security benefits. So all those cost money. So the House was adamant. We've got to cut spending. Okay. Do I want to cut more? Absolutely. But we got $1.5 trillion on the table. The president had his tax cuts that he wanted to extend that passed back in 2017, and he had the new tax cuts.
Yeah.
So we had to bring this as a balanced package. So that's why it's a 10-year benefit for the savings, benefit for the taxes. But we had to increase the credit limit, the debt ceiling, in order to give him breathing room to bring his new benefits online. And you hope that, you know, you think about the typical service industry employee, you know, maybe they make somewhere in the tune of $40,000 to $45,000 a year. Well, now you've taken taxes off of those tip wages, and now it's going to be a shot in the arm. Well, those dollars will be spent. They'll dump into the economy. I would think most restaurants are going to have people standing in line to wait tables just because of how lucrative a benefit that'll become. It'll change the dynamics of going out to eat a lot. I wouldn't be even surprised if you don't see restaurants having a different approach to the customer because of it. It'll be interesting how the culture will change.
Yeah, I like the provision. It's interesting. I thought it was a little weird that the cap was $25,000. That seemed like a pretty low cap for, you know, restaurant employee. I mean, a good bartender, a good waiter is going to certainly exceed that cap on reported wages, and kind of a weird mixed bag that you have. It's up to $160,000 total income, and I'm like, who's making $160,000 and is only paying $25,000? You know, anyway, the numbers didn't quite add up to me. But it's a benefit, as you say, and people are going to be spending the economy. The other thing, in smaller notes, just from the plan, the MAGA accounts, well, they're Trump accounts now, $1,000 for newborn babies. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. My wife and I, we it seemed like just yesterday we were raising our boys when they were newborns, and the amount of resources it takes, to raise a child, the diapers, the diversion you're taking from a lot of, you're just not able to work as much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. Where the president's going with this, he wants to help out young families. You know, it's a very compassionate, provision that he wanted in the legislation. So, I mean, this is for families. But I can see where some people are scratching their head a little bit, but end of the day, this was a priority of the president, and we aligned on that interest.
And boy, I will tell you, given the cost of a child, a healthy child with no complications is, I mean, just minimum, just to walk in the door, you're $5,000.
And not everybody has siblings with kids that you can borrow clothes from after they outgrow them.
Yep.
I mean, ours, it seemed like we were buying shoes every other month because of how quick the kids were growing. You're buying outfits. And so the hand-me-downs, at least in my family, were appreciated because I was the baby of four boys.
Right.
So we were constantly getting clothes from my brother.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of elements like that. And, you know, so in theory, just like the child tax credit, in theory, you know, I'm a supporter. Back to Jimmy Petronis, our congressman from District 1. You've been able to be the Speaker pro tem once, twice, how many times since you've been in office?
Yeah, I've done it twice.
Okay. Is it fun or is it like, why do I have to do this?
Oh, no. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's one of the most hallowed chambers in the United States. And so to be able to sit there and moderate the debate between members on legislation, it was funny. Brian Mast was actually the manager on the Republican legislation at that time. So the manager is typically the chairman of the committee. So it was a bill that came out of Foreign Affairs. Brian Mast chairs Foreign Affairs. And then he will line up speakers to speak on behalf of the bill. The ranking member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, the Democrat, will then line up speakers to speak against the legislation. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm playing traffic cop between the two of them to make sure that, you know, equal time is being heard in the chamber for the record, speaking for and against the legislation. So, yeah, it's kind of like driving a Mack truck. You got to pay attention.
Makes sense. The penny elimination is kind of a fun one. We haven't talked a lot about this on the show, but a little bit. We're phasing out. We've ordered our last blanks for the pennies, and then it's going to be what? You know, every man for himself, but use your nickels. The one, like the math on this has always struck me as weird. I get that pennies are expensive to make, but they are cheaper to make by a lot than nickels, which doesn't this just drive up the cost of nickels or the more cost because we're using nickels more? And also, doesn't Congress need to enact legislation to require rounding or something because online prices into the pennies, regular prices into the, like, how does this all work?
Yeah. So, and we haven't had a copper penny in over a decade. So our pennies right now, they're copper plated zinc.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of funny. Yeah. And you're exactly right. Now there's going to be a hell of a lot more stress placed on nickels of this rounding. I can't imagine how the point of sale and the retailers are freaking out as the gravity of this starts to sink in. But yeah, we're going to have to enact some legislation from Congress in order to ultimately push this through. Or you'll see what pennies are in circulation will stay in circulation, and then businesses will start to evolve. But is the savings great? It's a few million dollars. It's not massive, but again, I think there's the old adage, if you take care of the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
If you watch your pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. It's a little bit of the similar analogy. We can't manage our spending enough in Washington, and where we can save money, we should save money, in my opinion.
You know, one of the things, and this is, again, an issue where I thought this was a congressional thing. Of course, you know, the president is doing almost anything he wants to do, and then it's a question of will court step in, will Congress step in, and so forth. But this issue of Harvard has become a big issue in the last few days, banning the foreign students, threatening, he has not done, but threatening to shift $3 billion in grants from the research side of Harvard over into trade schools, which is money appropriated, as I understand, by Congress for research, so it would take a congressional reallocation. But, you know, you're in the business side of things, you're not an education committee or anything like that, but what role do you see Congress having in specifically this Harvard situation with the reallocation of these grants, or do you?
I like the idea of digging into not just Harvard's grants, but all grants. We've got a system in Washington, and we also have it at a state level. The state force is not hurting for money the way Washington is, but we create this solution that, you know, we want to spawn research or you name it, or we want to provide, you know, infrastructure. So we'll create some criteria and let cities, counties, schools, what have you, can apply for the money. And then we write them a check. Well, what doesn't happen is the type of follow-up that should take place. Are those dollars being spent on what the grant was initially programmed to do? And we flow so much money out of government coffers through these grant solutions. To me, there's a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse. So, yeah, if and grants should not be something as a guaranteed recurring income. I mean, a grant should be a program that's out there. Let somebody apply for it. Hopefully, they have some good that's from it. And then Congress should be forced to reauthorize that whole process all over again based on the productivity of those dollars. Well, it gets into autopilot. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. We should not allow such enormous sums of money just to go into autopilot without any accountability of what those dollars are really truly doing, because they are taxpayers' money.
Yeah, I mean, $3 billion. I'm not saying that there's not, you know, good research being done at Harvard, but, you know, eventually you add up billions and eventually it's real money. I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of money we're talking about. And, and I'm with you that there needs to be accountability. I've always been a fan of the zero-based budgeting kind of concept that every year you have to come back and justify everything you're doing. And frankly, budgets, grants, legislation, all of these things ought to have goals, benchmarks, you hit or you don't hit, and sunset provisions. You know, this is a 5-year, this is a 2-year, and maybe some of them, maybe many of them do, but the expectation that just every year we're going to get billions of dollars, and as you say, not just Harvard, but across the board, you know, where's the money going? DOGE for education, I mean, I'm in. You know, that's a good thing, right?
Well, and sometimes the only way to what the president's trying to do, the only way you're going to get somebody's attention and force them to come forward with their homework to show if they've actually done their assignment is cut the money off.
Yeah.
Okay, so managing the enormous amount of money that flows out of our country's coffers every day into entities that seem to be reliable in sense, there's no way you can manage it efficiently. And so, you know, I appreciate the governor. And you know what he's doing? He's starting with the biggest, most highest profile consumer of grant dollars in the whole United States. And let me get your attention, because the trickle-down effect that I'll have, if he punches Harvard in the mouth, then everybody else is going to say, you know what, we better tighten up.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's an interesting approach. I don't know that I totally agree with what he's doing in some of the particulars, but the idea of bringing accountability to higher education, especially on the funding side, I mean, I couldn't be more on board with that. Jimmy sure. Patronis, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1, as always. Sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you're doing, and we'll talk to you again next week, Monday at 7:35 like normal. But thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Have a fantastic week. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Again, that was yesterday. A little bit of an odd schedule this week because of Memorial Day, but we'll be back to the regular Monday interviews starting next week. Hey, if you are needing any kind of an inspection, repair, you got a question about air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing, complex mechanical systems inside your home, Peden, they'll take care of you. Anywhere from Tallahassee all the way to Mobile and all parts in between. For 55 years, they've been giving people professional service, high-quality products, a 100% satisfaction guarantee, just, you know, taking care of your stuff, doing good business, and growing. This month, during the month of May, we've only got a couple of days left in the month, but you can get, you know, obviously it's getting warmer out, you may have noticed. I mean, I've been wearing sandals, flip-flops, you know, so that means it's getting warm. And right now, you can get $1,500 off an air conditioning system from Peden, plus special financing. There are some restrictions that apply. Same thing for generators, or similar deal for generators, as we're getting into hurricane season soon. Not yet, but soon, you know, we're going to get into hurricane season. Think ahead, plan ahead, have that standby generator available, a dependable and powerful Briggs & Stratton generator, $2,500 off. Again, some restrictions apply. Find out more, book an appointment, Peden, PEDEN.com.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from PinAir Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from PinAir is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a PinAir home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at PinAir.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You have any idea how fast you were going?
Funnily enough, I was just talking to my friend about that. Our speedometer's melted, and as a result, it's very hard to say with any degree of accuracy exactly how fast we were going.
Reminder I wanted to give, it's, so the Fiesta Parade is Friday evening. The parade rolls at 7 on the usual route on Palafox, and the road closures are set to begin at 4 o'clock. So you remember I mentioned to you guys many times about the, we are going to be towing vehicles if they are inside the parade route. And to give you the post update from last time, thanks to you guys getting the word out and our social media, our police department, we had to tow zero vehicles last time during the Mardi Gras parades.
That's a success. You know, don't make them tow those vehicles. So starting at 4, be sure your cars are off of the parade route on Friday, and the parade starts at 7. No parking with inside the security perimeter after 4 o'clock. So don't be surprised if you're, you know, driving downtown at 5 trying to get across town and they're like, you got to go to Cervantes, because that's how that's going to work. That's how it worked last time. It actually worked well. You know, I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be bad, because you're going to have all the people basically down into, if you look at it on a map, like a upside down U, you know, that there's no cross, like Maine, you can't get across at Maine was the big question, and you couldn't. And so, you know, then when it actually came to happen, it just wasn't that big of a deal. People paid attention. They didn't go the wrong way, and everything was fine. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump says Canada could potentially be protected by his Golden Dome missile defense shield for free if they decide to become the 51st state. Trump made that announcement yesterday, of course, on Truth Social, where all the big announcements happen.
The completely verified, 100% true, you can bank on it happening news.
Totally vetted news, yeah. Only on Truth Social. And he made that announcement yesterday. He said Canada, quote, very much wants to be part of his proposed missile defense system.
Can you maybe quote any Canadian who says that? I mean, they do want to be part of the missile defense shield, no doubt, of course. And, you know, the offer of, we'll protect you for a trade. I mean, it's kind of an interesting approach, actually. Go ahead, David.
There's a new study out that shows most moms in the U.S. are facing mental health struggles. Researchers at Columbia University say 1 in 4 mothers report being in excellent mental health. That's a drop from 2016. The study, which tracked about 200,000 moms over 7 years, has also found declines in physical health, especially among younger single mothers. And those with fewer resources.
Did you say 1/4 are healthy? Is that what you said?
Right. 1/4 are healthy.
All right, well,
3/4 are,
if we're being honest,
less healthy.
Parenthood in general and motherhood in particular is,
it takes a lot out of people.
It does.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does. it just does. Yeah.
SpaceX, their latest Starship test flight launched yesterday, had some mixed results. The mega rocket launched from Texas about 6:30 last night.
Yay!
And 30 minutes in, it lost control, started spinning, apparently made an uncontrolled reentry, and blew up somewhere over the Indian Ocean.
Oh. Thank goodness it's unmanned.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the, yeah. And, you know, look, test rockets are going to blow up. I mean, this is part of the process, right? So, I mean, it's not the ideal outcome, but, you know, we wouldn't say it's not rocket science if rocket science was easy. Rocket science is hard, and as we know. David, thanks so much for the update. 559 News Radio 92.3. Okay, so we've got the preliminary comments out of the way. We're ready to dig into some of the real interesting stuff that happened yesterday during the University of West Florida Board of Trustees meeting. Oh, yeah. No, this was, I watched the whole meeting, and we will talk about it. Listen.